Turn with us over the book of Judges, chapter number 16. I'd like to continue in the thoughts, a little series of Samson. Samson is known for the weak, strong man. Then he's noted for the strong, weak man. Samson's a very interesting character in our Bible. We found him in the book of Hebrews, would have never thought it. But I can tell you this, God thinks a lot of all of his children. And so we've looked in previous Sundays. We've had two Sundays. I started out preaching on Samson's behaviors. And Samson was very much wanting to retaliation. He wanted to get even, wanted to get back. Then that first Sunday, we not only looked at his behaviors, but then last Sunday we looked at his battle. He's found in Judges 15:16. Samson said, "The jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps of the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men." So we've seen Samson and his behavior, and Samson and his battle. He destroyed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. You'll notice in that thought it was a new jawbone, what the Bible said, referred to it as new, but the new wore off of it, so he threw it down. I tried to challenge everybody last week, myself included, don't throw down, don't throw away what's been working. And can I tell you, in building a church, somebody's asked me, well, how can you build a church in old-time religion in this culture? You got to want to. And you got to have people with you and have the right Bible and keep the altars open and Christ magnified. And so we've seen Samson and his behaviors. He, very interesting man. And then we've seen Samson in his battle. Could you imagine killing 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey? Quite a feat this man has managed. But let's pick him up now in Judges 16. Not only have we seen Samson and his behavior, Samson and his battles, but today I want us to look at Samson and his barber. Samson and his barber. I think a lot of us have been taught this ever since Sunday school. And we pick Samson up in Judges 16. He's just slew 1,000 Philistines. He's threw the jawbone down. God allowed water to come up out of that place known as a jaw. And the Bible said his spirit revived. My goodness, we need revival in our nation, don't we? We need revival in our churches and in our lives. I spoke last week, certainly when Samson received that revival, his spirit revived, it's two times in our lives when we really stand in need of revival. It is in a time of wickedness and in a time of weakness. And we all find ourselves in both of them places. You know, there's none good, no, not one. I think the reason more people have been turned off from church because so many judgmental people. But we better realize this morning, the Bible says, considering ourselves. We better realize and think about where we all could be this morning. But without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. I'm glad he sent his son to Calvary. There he died for the sins of the whole world. So those in need of revival are simply those in the time of wickedness. We've never seen our nation in such a time of wickedness. Not only our nation, but our world has become so wicked. Isn't it pitiful? Even at the Olympics there in Paris, they had to make a mockery of the Lord's Supper and put all of them bunch of freaks on stage. And they tried to take and put this in our young people's mind. America's in trouble. And I want to say this, if you're not registered to vote, I want to give you some gas money to go get registered. And I know our hope's not in a man, but I can tell you one thing, policies and leadership go a long way. And we're under the wrong leadership in America. And you know, isn't it sad when a young man can go in your girls' locker rooms? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad to put a man against a bunch of women in a swimming pool? And I mean, this world is absolutely went wicked. But let me tell you something. God's still in control. And He loves all of His little children. And let's look at this with Samson and his barber. We've heard this a lot in our Sunday school literature. The Bible said in Judges 16 and 1, "Oh, how we need revival. Let's stand to our feet." "Then went Samson to Gaza, saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And was told the Gazites, saying, 'Samson's come hither.' They compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. They were quiet all the night, saying, 'In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him.' And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight." Look what he does. "He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts that went away with him, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron." You may be seated today. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good grace of God this time together. Pray now you let preaching be easy. I pray that you'd bring to my mind and heart the things that I've studied. Help me to be a blessing to your people today. Help America today. Oh, God, would you help our culture, our communities, our schools, our children, our families. We want to tell you, we want to thank you that you showed mercy to America. I want to thank you you've showed mercy and long-suffering to me, and I'm grateful for that. Help us now to be true to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Samson and his barber. Notice, first of all, I didn't read the text, but on over in the text, you'll notice in chapter 16. Let's read this. The Bible said, talking about Delilah, she made him sleep upon her knees in verse 19, called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Now watch your Bible." He awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." But he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Let's look at Samson and this barber. First of all, let's notice his routine of living. Let's look at Samson and his routine. We notice Samson in the actions of his routine. He said in chapter 16, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot." Verse 4, "Came to pass afterward, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, 'Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver.'" Now, Samson in his routine, notice his actions. He went in places that he was not supposed to go. Can I tell you that every child of God, I've heard this, we're not saved by the law. I know that. Thank God we're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace through faith. But the law is still perfect. The law has been put up to govern our lives, to keep us free, to keep us safe. And the Ten Commandments are still right. And so here, Samson had a vow from his mother's womb that he'd be a Nazarite. He had never cut his hair. He's supposed to have standards and things. He's never been given to wine. But we found in earlier preaching that he went down into the vineyards of the Philistines. And so we see Samson and his actions. He found himself going in places that he did not go. We had an old Bible story song, "Be careful, little feet, where you go." And it's so true, the routine, his actions. But then in verse 2, look at his achievements. The Bible said, "It was told the Gazites, saying, 'Samson's come hither.' They compassed him and laid in wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all the night, saying, 'In the morning, it is day, we shall kill him.' And Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried him up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron." Now, Samson and his routine, we see his actions. Secondly, we see his achievements. Here, Samson had acquired great strength. He'd done a lot of things. But not only his achievement, look in verse 3 at his attitude. It got him in trouble. He simply took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with a bar and all and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Preacher, what about his attitude? He got filled with pride. Samson really thought that he was doing it by himself.
Yeah.
And when it got nighttime, he could have scaled a wall and went out in surprise. And through the darkness of the night, he could have hid. But no, he chose to go under the gate of the city and pick up the whole gate system and walk off with it and took it all the way to another city. Boy, he was gloating in his achievements and his accomplishments. And we better be sure this morning, before pride or after pride comes destruction. And so here we see his attitude. He was so proud of his achievements. And can I tell you, when you have reached great goals in your life and you feel like that you've done really well, always be careful, because in these great accomplishments there always comes great temptations. And so Satan knew all about this Bible character of Samson. We see his actions. He went places he didn't need to go. Young people, let me tell you something. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful where you hang out at, because it'll get you in a whole lot of trouble. You that have problems with drinking, the last thing you need to do is to go into a liquor store. You that have a problem with gambling, the last thing you need to do is book a cruise to Las Vegas. Somebody say amen. And so we see he was one of great actions. He went here, he went there, went where he wanted to. He went against what God had laid down in his life. Then his achievement, his great in success, his attitude, it was sort of in pomp and glory. But I was reading that, Brother Shane, last night, where the Bible said that he had brought great deliverance, and he took the gate and the doors of the gate and the two posts and went away with a bar and all and put them on his shoulders on top of the hill. Can I tell you that our heavenly Lord Jesus, our great Samson that has never known sin, I'm glad one day that he took out the bars. He took those posts and he carried them to the top of the hill. And can I tell you, to bring freedom this morning? Can we look toward Calvary and see what our great God has done for us? I'm glad he's still alive and well in this day, in this hour. So we see this of his routine. We see his actions, his achievement, his accomplishments, his attitude. But in verse number 4, look at his attraction. The Bible said it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Look in chapter 16, verse 1 on his attraction. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot. Well, he would have never saw her unless he had got there. And so we must be careful today in what we do in the routines of life. I know I wrote this down. Maybe it will help us. Before this bad haircut happens, it's three things in his life that leads this up to his routine. I don't like a bad haircut, do you? If Miss Angie was here, it looks as if she is here today. A lot of times, you know, I've got a number one clip and I'll start in the back, but Brother Lee, I get it uneven. I'll walk out and the girl say, "Daddy, look at the back of your hair. I got to go to Miss Angie and get my haircut straightened out." Amen. But I've never went to a barber and said, "Will you give me a bad haircut?" Have you? I've never said, "Boy, Miss Angie, I'm here today. Miss Christy, I'm here today. I want a bad haircut." And so we see this routine, his attraction. He saw there three things, I feel like, that caused Samson this routine a lot of problem. First of all, it was evil association. Evil association. Brother Adam, I began to think about this passage, and I got thinking about the parallels, Brother Wallace, not only of how this applies in our life, but look how it applies to the church. The church has lost a lot of its power. She's become weak because she's courted the world. And they've asked the world to come in and make the church look like the world. But Jesus said, "Come out from among them and be you separate." You say, "Preacher, why you wear a tie and a suit every Sunday?" "Because I think it looks nice." "Preacher, why do you keep reverence in the building?" "Because God is to be reverent." And so we must realize that Samson, in his routine, he got with evil association. Listen to this little nugget in Proverbs. I won't preach real long, but I want to give these nuggets. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. And boy, it so applies to my life and your life. Talking about evil association. Proverbs 22 and 24. Listen, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Young people, we are who we run with. If you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. And so we must realize that we as we go out into the world, we're to go out in the world not to be isolated, but insulated. Do you understand? God does not want us to be isolated, but He wants us to be insulated. He wants us to come out from this old world. The world's standards and their measures and their format has nothing to do with God and His church. We're to be a different people. We're a called out people. We're strangers and pilgrims headed to the city where the builder and the maker is God. I'm glad this world ain't my home. And so I'm so encouraged today that this old world is not my home. So evil associations, be careful who you run with. Young men, listen to your preacher. If you get out with a crowd and they stop by the beer store, they want to get a six pack, want you to take a drink. Let me tell you something, it's not worth it. It tastes terrible. It's awful. And so be careful who you run with. Matter of fact, if you're around the wrong crowd, you're not going to really influence them. They're going to influence you. I got around the wrong crowd. I got to doing things I'm ashamed of today. But I do know where I come from. And I'm a whole lot further today than where I used to be, Brother Randall. But we better watch our evil associations. Young families, you have no reasons to be in a beer joint. You have no reason to be out on a nightclub. You say, well, I want to win the lottery. You act crazy enough broke. Routines. Evil associations. Be careful who you run with. And let me tell you something. You get you some good friends. Associate around you. Young people, pick your friends. And I can tell you this, if your mama says they probably not right, can I tell you, mama knows. You ain't going to fool mama. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. Your kids ain't got no business at midnight being in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot. I doubt if they having Bible study. Evil associations. We better watch where our children go, who they're with. We better watch it for our life. A lot of people say, well, you know, you can't be saved and have fun. I'm having the greatest life I've ever had. I hurt some every day. When you get old and your shadow gets to hurting you, you know you're hurting. Somebody say amen. But let me tell you something, folks. I have the greatest time of my life being saved. Everywhere I go, I'm saved. I'm to let a light turn on. I'm not to do what they're doing and be saying what they're saying. You ain't got to be better than nobody else. Just turn the light on. Let them know that you love them. Man, we've had some folks come to Brotherhood. They don't look like us. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up and say, I'm glad you're here and I love you. And y'all better always remember this. Jesus ain't never cleaned a fish till he caught it. And that's God's business. We're not the FBI. We're not to straighten nobody out. My goodness, this takes all the time I can handle.
Amen, brother.
So evil associations, we are who we run with. But some of the greatest times of my life, I get Christian friends, get out on Saturday, go out and shoot sporting clays. That's one of the highlights of my week. It don't top Sunday, but now I love it. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. It's good to have Christian brothers and sisters. You ladies ought to get together that are saved and fellowship and encourage one another. We need each other. Evil association. Then secondly, watch this. I know this by fact, sudden success. Samson had won so many victories, he got the big head. He forgot where his bread was buttered. Be careful with evil associations. Be careful with sudden success. Then thirdly, lastly, always watch out for worldly habits. Worldly habits. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. And I'll finish my message. Young ladies, listen to this. Young men, listen to this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? What communion hath light with darkness? I want to say God can do anything. But you ought to be praying that God would send you a like-minded spouse that has like-minded faith and values. If not, it's going to cause you a whole bunch of trouble. A saved person to go into business with a lost man, it's trouble going to come. So he talks about being unyoked. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them, walk in them, and I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. You know, not only in our personal lives, but the church has become so worldly, and she's lost her power and influence. Y'all think about this just a minute. In the days, and people don't like this, I don't really care. But you know, God used Billy Graham. He was a mouthpiece for a nation. And you think about all the churches. I looked at one time, there's over 80-something Baptist churches in Carroll County. And let me tell you, this is nothing to what's in the Carolinas. It's unbelievable, the churches. But have you ever thought about this? If the churches would stand up and the people would stand up and say, we ain't tolerating that in our community. Go to our school board, say, we're not tolerating this in our county. You think of all the multitude of Christians if we would just stand up. Stand for our God and our values. Oh, Lord, help the church. She's become so weak and worldly. And so, Samson and his barber. We see his routine. Chapter 6, 16, we see his razor. It came to pass. Now he's met Delilah. And the Philistines, he's went down to where the Philistines live. He had no business being there. He meets this woman in the valley of Sork. His name was Delilah. Look in verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed upon him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I'll be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The Philistines wanted to know Samson's strength. They said, we want to know where his strength comes from. Listen to this statement. They knew where his weakness come from, but they want to know where his strength come from. And so today, in this thing of his routine, now we see this razor. In verse 19, this razor was applied upon his head. He laid down in Delilah's lap and he went to sleep. And simply he laid down. Boy, isn't that a lot like the church and a lot like us? We just go sound asleep when we ought to be seeing warning signals. And so here the razor is applied. Verse 19 of chapter 16, he lost his might, the Bible said. And she made him sleep on her knees, called for a man, and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and watch. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know, when a person gets in sin, they lose discernment. If we've ever lived in a culture in a day and an hour when we need to be staying right with God so we can discern the Spirit, so we know what the Lord wants us to do. But here you see that this sin had numbed him down. He thought sure that he would go out as at other times. And so this razor, he lost his might. In verse number 19, the Bible said that in 20, the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him to Gaza, and bound him in fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He lost his might. Verse 21, he lost his sight. They put out his eyes. That's what sin does to us. Oh, it takes and it blinds us to the things of the Lord. He lost his might, lost his sight. Verse 21, lastly, he lost his fight. He was bound with fetters, and he did grind in the prison house. What he was doing, he was grinding meal. Most of the times, they would put a mule or a beast to this wheel, and they would move it around to grind corn. But now Samson is there, and he's grinding in the prison house. He's lost his eyes. He's lost his strength. Samson is in a terrible situation. But aren't you glad that our Bible don't stop in terrible situations? Because you see, failure is not final. Look what he said in verse 22 of Judges 16. My last point. We see his routine. We see his razor. But now we see his restoration. I want you to hear this, and I want you to think about what I'm fixing to say, and I'm done preaching. His restoration. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I want to say, first of all, that his restoration was granted. Isn't it amazing that God loves us the way he loves us? If you're going to judge somebody, judge yourself. So this thing of restoration, his hair began to grow again. His restoration was granted. I want to say God is willing to forgive us all. I'm thankful that he's full of mercy and compassion. But now watch this truth, Brother Philip. This is such a true statement. If you don't really look at it, you'll skip over it. Restoration. I want to say forgiveness comes at the instant, at the moment. But restoration takes a while. Here's the thought. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. His hair didn't grow out overnight. Restoration takes time. It's gradual. And you know the Philistines, they ought to notice something. They found out where his strength was. They should have seen that bald head getting hair again. That should have warned them. Boy, that's just like the devil. You say, well, preacher, where did his strength lie? He sure you come. Where does your strength lie? They knew his weakness, but they didn't know his strength. They wondered where it come from. And I got to think about where my strength comes from. Somebody said, Ken, where's your strength come from? Where does it lie? I'm going to say it lies way down in my heart. It lies in this church. It lies in my family and my friends. Man that has friends must show himself friendly. There's one that sticketh closer.
Yeah.
Than a brother. You see, failure's not final. Oh, they laughed at Samson.
Yeah.
I know Samson felt so ashamed. But the Bible granted him something and his strength began to return. And I want to preach that in the last sermon when he got his strength back. You may be here this morning and you're wondering, well, preacher, things has happened in my life. People's walked out of my life. I've lost my job. I've just made a big mess of it. It just seems like it's just pouring in on me. Well, let me tell you something. Realize that God grants it. It's gradual, but it's gracious. How many times, you know, there's been times, Brother Mike, I'm a preacher, I try to be clear as I can be, sort of what you see is what you get. I've never been able to put on a show or a front, but when I've done something and I've grieved God, God forgives me that moment when I asked Him, but it takes me a while to get back to where I was.
The devil will tell you there is no getting back, but I come to tell you the devil's a liar this morning. How many of us have experienced that our hair come back out again? Oh, it was granted, and it was gradual. But thank the Lord, he's getting it back. I wonder, is anybody here this morning want it back? Want your song back? You desire to serve God? Got to thinking last night some things where my strength lies. God may allow them to be taken from me, but right now I got 4 grandkids. They aggravating sometimes. They love to clean our refrigerator out. But the day they come in from school and drop their backpack, get 9 Dr. Peppers. But thank God they're there to get them. You say, preacher, where's your strength lie? Oh, I can tell you, some of it lies in these kids. And you. My wife, she's home, can't be here 3 more weeks. But I'm going to tell you something, when I come in here without her, half of me's not here. But God's here.
Yeah.
Miss Sherry going to play. I hope this altar. Y'all come this morning if you need something for your life. Come ask God to let you experience it again.